UNICEF and Save the Children International have signed a memorandum of understanding with community in need aid, and that's a South Sudan, which is CINA. Well, Community in Need South Sudan becomes part of the global child protection area of responsibility, and in fact, they become co-lead in the program. Now, you're probably wondering what the global child protection area of responsibility is. Well, they are all here, and they will break it down for us. Well, in the studio is Samuel Manyok from the Community in Need Aid South Sudan. Malish Philip is from Save the Children, and we also have Francesco Njagi Kaburu, I hope I had that right, is the Child Protection Area of Responsibility Coordinator, South Sudan, at the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, UNICEF South Sudan. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Right.
Good morning.
Good yes.
morning.
Good morning. Yes, I'll start with you, Kaburu. Just make it a bit simpler for us and break it down. What is the Global Child Protection Protect Area of Responsibility? What are we talking about when we say that?
Thank you for the question. The child protection area of responsibility within the complex setup of humanitarian response is mandated to coordinate all actors that implement child protection programs, and it's also mandated to quality assure the programs and to advocate for children's rights.
Right. Now, Philip, just can you tell us about the key areas of child protect that South Sudan faces now?
Thank you, listeners of Mirai FM. This is Philip. What issues of children in across the country is more special children who are living without proper parental care. These are children without appropriate care. That are mostly in areas in South Sudan, where we see most of them in the cities, like Juba, you see, and children are all over. These are key issues that are facing children within that. And also, there are children who are left as an orphans and living with the vulnerable caregivers. These
right.
are more of the cases that are facing within the community across the country. And of course, we with that also in deal issues of related to intercommunal violence, exposing children to more risk, more children become unaccompanied, separated children across the country. So these are issues that are affecting children there, and there are also issues related with the children associated with armed forces, armed group that are children being recruited into these categories that are across during issues of crisis across the country.
Right.
So these are some of the cases that are of children that are they are facing throughout the country, and mostly that are affecting issues of children. And related issues also, there are high rate of dropout of girls from schools and also boys because of access to education. Sometimes is difficult with the economic situation that are going. Most of the children are at home, so they don't have that access, and the parents are not able to afford some of the little fee to support the children,
sustain
them at school.
Right.
So these are some of the issues facing children across the country.
Right. And have you been able to document how many children there are?
Statistically, we have big number, but I need to confirm, but at least it's over 14,000 of cases that are across the country.
Right.
That's why we have the Child Protection Information Management System that documented all these informations, and we serve the children hosting data across the country, and is actually taking lead in that. And of course, this is very important to have data for children related to issues across the country.
Right. And coming to you, Samuel Manyok, you are a local organization here in South Sudan. Just help us understand the sort of work that you do, especially with regards to child protection.
Thank you very much. I want to speak on behalf of SINA, but then also on behalf of other national organizations that implementing child protection work in South Sudan. SINA is a national NGO that was established way back in 2010 and has grown progressively implementing child protection work across 7 of the 8, of the 10 states in the country.
Right.
And basically, it's child protection in humanitarian response. So we do a lot of children in armed conflict intervention, preventing grave child rights violations and advocating with local actors to prevent some of the violations from happening, working on issues of children separated from their families to ensure they are reunited, and then providing psychosocial support to children that have been impacted by conflict and natural disasters, as well as providing risk education program to those children caught in conflict situation and
right.
so forth. So these are just few of the interventions we do, but of course these are part of the child protection area of responsibility focus areas that other child protection workers continue to do in the country.
Right. And still with you, Samuel, you have just signed the Memorandum of Understanding. You know how you now have this new responsibility as SINA, South Sudan. Just tell us a bit more. What does this mean for your organization?
Thank you. So the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding that was signed by the three agencies, UNICEF, Save the Children and SINA, is to guide the coordination leadership of the child protection of area of responsibility in the country. This is not just only happening in South Sudan, but it's a global attention to issue of localization. You know about the Grand Bargain, where local actors need to take much more leadership in the coordination of humanitarian response across the globe. Mm-hmm. So here in the country, the child protection of area of responsibility has done a tremendous job to ensure that local actors have more, influence, decision-making power by ensuring that a national organization is included in the leadership of the child protection coordination mechanism. So this was a process that was done transparently,
right.
And SINA was elected by all the child protection area of responsibility members in the country to represent them for the entire period of 2 years, and thereafter another national organization will come forward. So what this means now here is SINA will be sitting at the same secretariat with Save the Children and UNICEF to work to coordinate the work of child protection in the country,
right.
Participate in all the decision-making processes, resource mobilization and the capacity building of all our partners and actors throughout the country.
Right. Thank you so much, Samuel. Now, Francesco, as UNICEF, to make this partnership effective, how are you going to assist? What can they learn from you?
Well, in general, since the humanitarian summit in Istanbul in 2016, the call for aid to become as local as possible, as international as necessary, has increasingly been at the center of the debate. The aim is to make sure the humanitarian response is sustainable, transparent and accountable. So UNICEF and Save the Children, by signing this MOU, have shown a concrete and practical step towards this commitment.
Hmm.
So the second phase will be mentoring, training and working day-to-day with SINA and all other local actors to make sure in a span of some years we hand over the coordination,
right,
of child protection actors to local capacities, including government.
Right, right. Now, Philip, Save the Children, what experiences can they tap from your work that you do here in South Sudan and globally?
Yeah, thank you. Save the Children, more special, we work more area in areas of child protection, and that's more special in our expertise in areas of and accompany separated children to make sure that the children are mostly reunified to their families. And as a history has been in South Sudan since 2013, Save the Children has been engaged in this process.
Mm-hmm.
And has driven number of children that with their families after this crisis that happened. And currently we have 7,000 children that are being reunified in the country across as a result of that tremendous work that Save the Children has been doing together with all the partners, because we have around 32 partners that are engaged in this process. So, and we with support of UNICEF in terms of transportations of these unaccompanied separate children back to their families, is very just make work easily. At least children and families are able to celebrate when they're together in one family and able to enjoy it, that privilege that is as the family is the basic place where children are able to grow. So with that, it has given a lot of Save the Children also learn from the community, and the community also learn from Save the Children how we are doing together,
mm-hmm,
in terms of doing other activities and the partners all together. So it is about collective responsibility to see that we get through the protection of the children across the country.
Right.
Save the Children alone cannot do enough, but all with other partners partners around, then we'll able to do and get works that done, and the work for children will able to get well, and the well-being and also dignity can able to be respected,
right,
restored within the,
right,
community.
Thank you so much, Malish. So, but yeah, also how do you help the children who are usually unaccompanied?
Yes, the process is that once we come in contact with them, they have been identified through the community members and also the partners identify them. We have to go through the process of documentation them and try able to get more information on where the parents of the children are, and also parents were able to search for their children. So we get both information from the children, also from the parents. Once that is opting out, we're able to get a clear information. That's where we support the children to go where they're supposed to go. Because across the country, we have like the 10 states and now 3 administrative areas. Sometimes it's a wider coverage in some remote area where access to get the parents of the children is a challenge. But however, we are able to get through the collective responsibility with the line ministry, Minister of Gender and Child Welfare, at the state level, at the national level. We are able to support that process at the grants level, so that we are able to see that the children are helped to reach their parents, and they were, and that's why it has made us to reach that 7,000 reunification that happened.
Right. Thank you so much. Yeah. Now, back to you, Francesco. So one of the important issues is localization objectives, and this is to retain coordinators within the child protection humanitarian sector. To just tell us more about what the importance of retention is, of this retention.
Yeah, thank you for the question. Retaining local coordination and coordinators is key for the memory of the actions we do, because to ensure impact, we grow day by day, we learn day by day. So if we keep on changing the coordination mechanism and the coordinators, we will end up losing the memory of the lessons learned and how to correct our mistakes.
Right. Now, Philip, managing information within child protection seems to be very important. Like you said, you have to coordinate, you have to collaborate with parents and children. So how does its effective management help in child protection work?
The important part of that information management is that it helped to track the information of the children that we are coming in contact with them, and we're able to keep us to know the histories of what happened to the child and where they currently, and the status of how they're improving with the new family that they've been refined together. So the important is just to keep us in the track of having the history of what happened to the life of the child.
Right.
So that's what is key. And of course, to make sure that the information that are captured is kept confidential, because that is where the areas of having that information management.
Right. Yes. And why is it important to keep that information confidential?
Of course, you know, dealing with issues and with the issues of children, and these are complex situations that we're in, sometimes the information is not managed well. There are high chances of people in breaking into the information may able to lead to issues of let me just give example of trafficking. Sometimes when the information are not kept well, some people will use as a chance of getting the children across for their different purposes.
Right.
So the information is to keep that information of children from this situation that might lead to abuses of children, also may lead to issues of trafficking of children, and a lot of that across.
Right. Thank you, Philip. Yeah. Now, Samuel, from here, what changes would you like to see at SINA South Sudan, particularly with regards to how you conduct child protection work?
Thank you very much. We're not just only SINA, but we really want to see by the end of the 2-year period of SINA being part of the coordination mechanism that there is a great change in terms of results for children and women in this country by having a local actor as part of the coordination mechanism. We want to be able to measure from the previous years when we never had a national actor participating in the coordination mechanism, how was the situation like for children, and how will it be like again in the next 2 years?
Right.
Thank you.
And Francesca, from that point, with this localization of leadership in the child area of responsibility, what would success look like to you?
Well, the success will be that in a span of a few years, the coordination is handed over to South Sudan colleagues, including government.
Right. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for making our time to speak to us while you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show. And this is where the Nation Speakers conversations begin. And before I let you go, this is now general. So children's needs are many in this country, but where do you think resources are needed the most in terms of protecting children, Samuel?
Okay, let me come in.
Yeah, I would like to hear your opinions while I start with you, Samuel.
Thank you. Thank you for that question. I think this is really into the hearts of everyone. We know that globally, not just only in South Sudan, resources are shrinking, but in South Sudan, the issues for children and women and other vulnerable people are increasing. So we all understand that the situation we are in right now is a protection crisis, compounded by so many other factors that existed in this nascent country. We do now have a lot of people coming back from Sudan because of the crisis happening there.
Right.
So everything comes as an issue of protection. So I think nationally, we need to agree with the fact that resources need to go into addressing protection needs of children and women affected.
Right. Yes, Philip, would you like to jump in?
Thank you. I think my colleague has answered it pretty well. And of course, the needs are so huge, but by, of course, we really need to me personally, I mean, to look into issues of, we need to strengthen the social protections of the in the country, because this is where the complexity of protection comes in, because a lot of things come from the social issues of in the country. So if we really strengthen that, then probably we'll be able to support some of these issues that are children facing across.
Right. Yeah. Francisco, finally.
Yeah, from the data we collect in all sectors, we can see that the South Sudanese crisis is a child protection crisis. And so we, and often protection is neglected as a sector. And what we will advocate for is resources to go towards impactful programs. We will make sure we will showcase those programs that make a change in the life of the children.
Right. Francesco, Philip Malisha, and Samuel Manyok, thank you so much for your time. Well, Francesca Njagi Kaburu is from UNICEF, and Philip Malisha is from Save the Children, and Samuel Manyok is from Community in Need Aid South Sudan. Thank you so much for coming to Radio Mira Studios. Well, the conversation continues online on X, formerly Twitter. Our handle is at Radio Mira. Search for Radio Mira on Facebook, and the Mira Breakfast Show page is also on Facebook. Please like the page and don't be left out on the information.